The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
And by the way, the Vanilla Frosty is stupid. I don't know why it ever came about.
I prefer Vanilla Frosty.
That's stupid. I don't want to judge you. You're a good person. But as you know, I'm going to treat you like people treat everybody else on Twitter.
More than chocolate.
You're a horrible human.
Yeah.
And I can see why you got fired from your other jobs now. That's how Twitter reacts to anything you disagree with. It's like they dig up old stories on you and say, oh, I can see why you got fired now because you like Vanilla Frosty? Okay.
I mean, that's, I guess, as good a reason as any.
I think so.
Well, breaking news, besides Fred being covered in poop, Doc Rivers to the Sixers is a done deal. Signed up today, and I don't know how much it'll be different. I'm not surprised that Doc's getting another shot. I was actually kind of hoping the Sixers would hire Tyronn Lue because that would mean the Rockets couldn't. Still available. Still out there.
I was kind of hoping D'Antoni would go to the Sixers.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number 3. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like, send a message, Aaron will read it. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. Can text the show, you know the number for that. Or you can watch us on Twitch, comment there, twitch.tv/ESPN975. No matter how you're listening or watching, appreciate you guys. Thanks for tuning in. And all that, what you just heard, all available on podcastarena.com. A little extra Josh Ennis action here for the first 45 minutes. So,
a lot of poop talk today.
Yeah, well... You know, I don't know what to say. It wasn't fun.
You're swimming in it.
You know, it was. I mean, it. I might have made it sound like I was completely covered in it, which isn't exactly accurate. But
it did get on your face.
And a little poop goes a long way in that situation. So yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I was telling you during the break. I'm having a hard time finding and. So far, and like it's easier for me to keep up now because instead of having to like write down my win loss record and what my ROI is and stuff, pregame just does it for me.
Right.
I'm 9-9 betting college football this year, and I'm up a little bit. I'm up $350, but I'm 50%. I have not felt great about a single college football bet I've made this year. I've not been like, oh, this is a slam dunk. This is a home run.
Yeah, I've been wrong more than right. I think I've played a lot fewer games than you have. I think I'm 4-5.
Okay.
Or 4-5-1. But I've done okay on the NFL the last couple weeks.
I'm 17-10 in the NFL.
Yeah.
If I can stay 63% for the season, I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
But that's unlikely to keep up. But I've had moments in the NFL where I'm like, oh, the card this week, just like week two. It was candy from a baby, honestly. Week three was pretty damn good, too, save a few hiccups. But I just feel a lot more comfortable betting NFL right now than I do college football. It's not even close.
I agree.
And we're in week five.
I know. It's just, but it still feels like college football, you have no clue. Because, and that's kind of why I asked about Aggie with Brad, because... I mean, they could look a lot different this week because how many times have we seen that where a team comes out in week one and they're like, you know, without the usual preparation, some teams just aren't as prepared and some teams were ready to go. And it wasn't always easy to figure out who it was. And now, you know, then you come back the next week and the team you thought was going to be pretty good in the first week. Kansas State's a pretty good example. You know, they lose a game. You go, really? You lose to those guys? And then you beat Oklahoma. To me... The patterns that I look for, all the things that I look for, like even, okay, I want a team with a veteran quarterback, veteran offensive line, even that's not really working. So, I mean, that's why I've been playing a lot lighter. And I admit it's crept into my NFL playing because I'm kind of like, you know, I just don't feel as sure about this game as I usually do because I just got my ass kicked on colleges yesterday. So that part of it is a little uncertain, but at least I think the NFL is kind of making sense. And yeah, I had a 3-0 Sunday with they said Texans over, Falcons over, Packers. And you know, again, I'm not playing as many games as you are, but I'm hitting pretty well in the NFL. It's just college is kind of guesswork right now.
Yeah.
And I don't like guesswork. I like having a strong feel. I do the one game that I asked Brad about this one. I feel pretty good about. I'm hoping I get to 3 on SMU. If not, I'm still going to play it at 2. I like SMU against Memphis. Memphis hasn't played in a month. Had the COVID thing. Their best player opted out. SMU's played 3 games, and I like what coach has done there. I liked them last year. Veteran quarterback, guy who was at Texas, and I think this one, you know, again, I feel as good about it as I can feel about a college game, but not enough to bet more than a quarter of what I used to bet.
Right.
If that sounds fair. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. I don't mind the over in that game either, by the way. That'll probably be my other play. But there's nothing else on the slate that I look at and say, you know, I might play this.
Yeah, when's the Big Ten starting?
Not for another
2 more weeks.
I think it's 2 more weeks. Yeah.
How are they going to play all these games?
Don't know. They'll figure it out.
Man.
Oh, well, they released a schedule, right?
Yeah. There's some games, and my, I guess I don't know if this is a flaw in my game or not when it comes to handicapping, but by today, I pretty much have all my NFL bets made, and I prioritize NFL over college football, like when I'm putting, not like one is more important than the other because the money pays the same, but a line move in the NFL is much more important to me than it is in college football. And the truth of it is, if a line moves to a number I don't like in college football, there's usually 30 more games I can choose from, you know? So it's not that big of a deal. The NFL, I want to get in on the numbers that I want. I don't want to pay extra juice and things like that. So I usually wait until Friday or even, you know, sometimes Saturday morning before I put plays, you know, before I put my plays down on college, because it seems like the lines move a little bit less, or the lines moving is less impactful. Every game that I was like, ooh, I kind of want to get in on this one, it's gone the other way. You know, I Alabama, I liked them at 16.5. Yeah, now it's 18.5.
Yeah.
I liked Arkansas against Mississippi State, and it opened at 17.5, and now it's 16.5. It's like, you know, I keep getting pushed on the wrong side of these key numbers, and so I'm hesitant to pull the trigger because I'm already, again, not feeling great about how I'm seeing college football. And there's so many, like, having to go and see every – I've got a spreadsheet now that I'm keeping track of how many practices teams had. Because that's like what they're missing due to COVID is so important. Right. It's just adding a whole nother element that it's frustrating.
So Big Ten starts the weekend of the 23rd, 24th. So 3 weeks.
What? That's forever.
Yeah.
Now, how many?
So tired of the ACC. So tired of it,
dude. I mean, I would kill a small animal to get a UH game. Been waiting.
When are they playing?
Next week. Which I'm surprised I couldn't find somebody to play this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're I think next week is when they'll finally debut. And I just want to see how good they are. Want to see if they made some improvements from last year. They've certainly got a lot of practice.
they're practicing the hell out of things.
Yeah, but I want to see that. I mean, and I think we'll start getting into some better SEC matchups now. I mean, I don't think the matchups week one in the SEC were that great, although Mississippi State turned out to be, you know, tougher than we thought for LSU. But that's the only thing I got right last weekend in college football was Mississippi State. And I had no clue they were going to win the game. I just thought they would cover. And then when I saw Stingley was out, I hit the ticket again because I figured, you know, air raid offense without not just Stingley, but you know, Fulton's gone and Delpit and all those guys from last year, felt like, okay, this, they may have trouble with this. Then by the same token, you also think, well, LSU can get after the quarterback, so that'll mitigate that, but they certainly didn't. So, Fred, hopefully you don't kill a small animal that pooped in your car. Run, Dynamo. It wasn't Dynamo, actually, at this time. It was Derby. All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal Box of Awesome collections for guys guaranteed to upgrade your life. I love The Aged, which is an aging kit for your favorite booze. They've got something for everybody, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month, no matter what you're into. Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. I'm looking forward to the flip of a gorgeous folding knife made from Damascus steel. To get started, take a quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com. Enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Your Oakland A's now one out away.
Yep.
Runner on first and two outs. The White Sox.
They threw three straight fastballs. He hit that ball so far in the second inning that I would have said, don't throw any fastballs to him. And now here they are, down to one out.
Yeah, I think his arm might be a little bit liver.
Maybe so. It fires.
Yeah. he definitely hopped two of them by him easy. So.
Oh, and then he threw the hook right there.
Yep.
So down to their last strike, it looks like.
Well, we can start previewing Astros A's.
Maybe so.
There'll be no way to keep Mike Fiers from pitching against them, right?
I mean, it's unlikely. he pitched today, and they could say, well, we're going with a three-man rotation, but that seems unlikely in 5 days, to be honest.
Yeah. There's a ball.
There's no Mazzara's at bat right now.
So I want to get your opinion on something.
All right.
My sports map article for today was sort of about the Astros.
Okay.
More about Astros haters. I think they need the Astros to keep winning to stay relevant. Like all these guys who, you know, like John Boy or whatever that clown's name is. All the people who are on Twitter talking about, reminder, the Astros cheated. Dodger fan, Yankee fan, loud radio guy. They're cheaters. All these people need the Astros. They need the villain, man. They need Darth Vader. And because what happens when the Astros lose? Like, oh, I'm so glad they lost. They're cheaters. And then what happens? They're gone, right?
Yeah.
We never hear from them again because nobody's going to care. I think if the Astros keep winning, they keep talking about it. It gives them something to do. It's good for Major League Baseball because everybody will be talking about it again, just like they were months ago. And you know, otherwise, baseball people are going to just quit caring here in a couple weeks when we have all the football back. But I like this idea. I think the Astros give these people a reason to live. That's kind of my column today. So they should really be rooting for them, not against them, because they'll have no life when they're gone.
I mean, I think John Boy is a Yankees fan. So he'll still feel okay because he'll still have the Yankees to talk about.
Yeah, but nobody around the country is going to care.
Three. That's
it. That's it. A's win.
Boy, imagine ending your season looking at a pitch.
I hope you coach. I hope you coach your guys better than that.
Oh, that's the one thing I yell the most about, looking at strike three. And don't tell me about, who's inside. Well, what about strike one and two, buddy? What about that? Let's talk to Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Well, sports to you.
All right. I was listening to the John and Lent show earlier today, and they were talking about the athlete that I guess got called Gaisler, and him and his team walked off the field. And I don't know. I'm a black man, and I know how my dad raised me, military guy and sports. I think all these athletes are just soft. I mean, if somebody called me, which that has happened when I ran track and cross country, I got called a racial slur. So what I did was I took all my energy and focus and completely embarrassed that person on the field instead of walking off and getting into my feelings. So that don't compute with me. With people, the whole team walking off the field, what happened to competing? What happened to embarrassing that person? Or just throw hands after the game if you really feel that strongly about it. So that's my take on it. I just feel like everybody just saw.
Yeah,
get over it.
And what is that league? Because that's not the same league the Dynamo.
No,
is it?
It's like the league below.
No,
it, right?
It's the second. It's like their minor league, I guess.
These dudes are paying probably paid like $50 a game, and they're walking off the field because of that. I mean, just let the authorities know. Get that guy kicked out of the game. They were winning 3-1.
Yeah, and I'm guessing caller is a little old school too. I mean, somebody did something like that, then he's getting tackled really hard. I may get a red card out of it, but instead of walking off, I'm gonna retaliate.
Yeah,
I mean that's how it was back in our day. That's how we dealt with things, and you know, it's just like having a hockey goon. I mean, I guarantee you, I'm sending my worst player out there to take the guy down. Get the red card, fine, boom, done. Don't care, especially if I'm up 3-1. So, I think if they reported him to the refs and the refs didn't do anything, then, yeah, I don't know. Walking off the field isn't really.
Well, the refs' reasoning was, because it's a Jamaican slur. It's part of more of Jamaican vernacular.
Okay.
And he said, I'm not Jamaican. I'm not really known for their, like, I don't know their colloquialisms. I can't punish somebody for saying something if I don't understand it.
Mm.
Like, I can't tell you, oh, that's a, if you tell me it's a bad word because you're upset with it, if I don't understand the word still, I can't just go and punish somebody.
That's probably fair. I don't think, yeah, I'm trying to put myself in that position. It's like, yeah, you're telling me that's what it means. I don't know. I mean, it's, but walking off does seem extreme to me. And especially if you're winning a game, I guess what you're telling me is the game really doesn't matter to you. So, you know, the guy shouldn't have done it. Let's make
that
clear.
He denies it is what I was reading.
No. But yeah, I'm kind of curious how most people would handle that.
Well, my World Series pick is out. My World Series championship pick is out. I thought maybe I was.
Who did I wind up
picking? Hofstradamus.
Did I? I think I picked some chalk crap. I don't remember.
I think you had the Mariners.
No. I did my long shot play in football.
Oh, okay.
I picked your Bills. I also picked the Vikings. Can I rescind that?
Sure. I think you had Tigers Pirates in the World Series.
No, that wasn't it.
I had White Sox over Dodgers, which, you know, I still feel pretty decent about that Dodgers pick. Although as the season went on, I would now prefer the Padres to the Dodgers. I like their team better.
I would like to see the Padres get there,
but I mean, I know you're supposed to hate the or if you like the Astros, you're supposed to hate the Dodgers. But I like the Dodgers team.
Yeah, it's like that Red Sox team that won a couple of years ago. I mean, I don't like Boston. I don't like the Red Sox, but it was hard not to like those players.
Yeah,
kind of feel that way about the Dodgers. I really don't like the Dodgers. I really dislike Dodger fan, but they're a fun team. They're hard for me to hate.
So, like, if the Astros don't win, who do you want to be in the World Series from the AL? Tampa, New York, or Oakland?
No, that's always more interesting if it's the Yankees.
Okay,
I mean, and so
would Yankees, Dodgers? Would that, I mean, that'd be the biggest ratings, obviously.
Yeah, it's, and I think that's the one thing that people would tune in for, unless you get the Astros in there and people want to hate on them.
I think Cardinals, Yankees too, just because of the history of it.
But I wonder, because this, I wonder how they're going to do from a ratings perspective, even if we get those kind of matchups. Like, obviously, Cubs, anybody would be good for ratings. But I just wonder, with this bumping up into the heart of football season and college football really getting going, how the World Series will do ratings-wise. Especially, what if you get Padres and A's, for instance? I mean,
what if you get Brewers, Rays? Oof. What if you get Braves Rays?
Yeah, even the Braves
A's.
Yeah, that would be.
What if you get Marlins Astros? No one's watching those.
Pat in the 409. Whatever happened to hey a hole? Look at the scoreboard. Yeah, I mean, that's another thing you could have done.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, they just did is get attention, so people like you would talk about it.
Well, it worked.
It did.
Good for them.
Yeah. I think they're a bunch of real. So, yeah. Maybe it's not the conversation they wanted to get going. But, yeah, I think they're kitty cats.
If there ends up being audio evidence of that, that dude's going to be in trouble in 2020.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Just from a baseball perspective, I'd rather see Tampa just because I think they're more fun.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I'm not going to really pay much attention to the World Series if the Astros aren't in it, because I don't have 6 hours a night to block off for it. So, you know, doesn't mean I won't watch some of it, but like last year when the Astros were in it, you had to watch every minute of it. And, you know, now this is going to bump up against a lot of football. And although I'm kind of getting, I don't know if I feel the same about college football. Maybe it gets back to what you're talking about, or how difficult it's been to kind of handicap these games. Now, I had a lot of fun Saturday just sitting there and watching all the madness, like the UT game, end of the UT game, and the end of the Mississippi State game. But it is a different feel watching this year, and maybe because I always like sort of build my day around whatever UH is doing, and then I watch the rest of the games, and I haven't had UH do that. Hey, guys. You know, you don't need to be an expert to know that consolidating credit card debt into one low fixed rate can save you money. And you can start saving today with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. LightStream's fixed rate credit card consolidation loans start as low as 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is over 19%, some cases higher. So depending on how much you have, you can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. And a loan like that is going to save you hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars. Application 100% online. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information. I ain't finished yet. Need another bit. Got a ride in the room. Screaming hee haw. Made me proud, girl. You a cowgirl. Did a handstand. I'm like, wow, girl. Got me kicking ups. At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we're back on The Blitz, 6:30. Usually we get him at 6. He gets some conflict today, but Taylor McCarr joins us now from ESPN, college football analyst. Taylor, how you doing, bud?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Can't complain. Some teams of local interest either gave scares or just flat out died on Saturday. And let's start with the one that just flat out died. LSU coming off one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college football season in history. I mean, they did not look competitive against Mississippi State. And a lot of that could be, you know, it's hard to prepare for Mike Leach. It's hard to know what's coming. But they just got blown off the field. Do you think it was they weren't prepared or they're just not that good because they lost so much talent to the NFL?
Yeah, I don't think it was a preparation thing. I think we got to take a step back. And 29, I think it's 29 or 30% of their total production coming back in terms of snaps, guys that played last year and the snaps that they played coming back this year. That is unbelievably low. I mean, that is about as low as you see for an SEC team. And this is, even for a really talented team, this is a rebuilding here. I mean, I would not be surprised if this LSU team loses a handful of games this season that we would expect them to win. And obviously Mississippi State came out and really took it to them. I think we also need to give some credit to Mississippi State and what Mike Leach has brought in. I think we're starting to see a little bit of the Burrow effect. And KJ Costello throws for, 60 attempts. He sets an SEC record for attempts and passing yards in a game. And I think we're going to see more of this. You're going to see, I don't hesitate to call it air raid throughout the conference, but what LSU put out there last year, I think it woke up some offensive minds in the SEC and realized we don't have to line up and run power eye right at each other. But for this specific game, was still surprised to see Mississippi State win it. And I don't think this is one that LSU is going to snap right back and run the table the rest of the way. I think really for them, this is going to be a rebuilding year.
It seems surprising as well as they've recruited. I mean, normally a team like that would just reload. But when you start to factor in coach turnover and things like that, do you think that just makes it all the tougher for them to get back to where they were? Like, was Joe Brady, is he a bigger loss than maybe we're talking about? Could he be a bigger loss than Joe Burrow even?
Somewhat, but I think you got to look back at any time you have, what was it? It was 12 or 13 guys, I believe, that LSU had drafted last year, and then a handful of others that went and were undrafted free agents for them. That's an unbelievable amount of production that year over year, no matter how well you recruit, there's not enough 5-stars and 4-stars in the world to put 12 to 13 guys in the league every year. So there's going to be a little bit of a drop off, and I think we're seeing that. This is also a team that you could, based on what I think Ed Orgeron has in place right now, could potentially, you know, get better as the season goes on and get stronger, but there's no Joe Burrow on the other side leading this offense. And you saw how much of the production on the defensive side of the ball ended up going to the NFL last year. It's just hard to replace that year over year.
Well, they ended up avoiding it in Texas, but it has to be sort of a wake-up call. Down 15 with 3 minutes left. A great comeback by Texas, obviously, but a pretty epic melt there by Texas Tech, too. Should Texas fans be concerned that maybe this isn't the team that they thought it was?
I don't know, concerned only because the Big 12 as a whole doesn't look very good. I still think there's a very good case to be made that Texas runs the table in the regular season. But I would say Texas has a lot to solve for, especially on the defensive side of the ball, obviously, if they think they're going to be on the same level as the Alabamas and the Clemsons of the world. And the thing that I really would point to for the Longhorn fans, if you think that this team is a national championship caliber team, look at a Clemson and an Alabama and ask yourself, do they have these special teams mistakes throughout an entire season, not just one game? What we saw out of Texas on special teams alone, to me, just shows that this is still a team that does not belong in that top four, even top five, six, seven, eight, really, conversation. And then the other thing that was really disappointing for me in Texas was tackling. Not very physical at all. at the point of contact, there wasn't a lot of violence. And the Texas teams that competed for national championships and through the 2000s, they had some violent dudes on defense. And that's what you need if you're going to win a national championship. But I still think there's a case to be made. I mean, the Big 12 as a whole, what we saw, what Kansas State went in and did to Oklahoma. Oklahoma State hasn't looked very good. Texas could still win this whole thing and run the table.
Taylor, what about A&M? They were not impressive against Vanderbilt last week. Now you get Alabama. What do you expect to see this week?
You know, I would love – I'm pulling for Jimbo Fisher. I like him as a coach. I like Kellen Mond as a person. I'm not an Aggie. Obviously didn't go to A&M, but I'm pulling for them this season. But I don't see any way that they turn around from what I saw on Saturday and go out and compete against this Alabama team. I mean, 17-12 against Vanderbilt starting a true freshman quarterback. Really, any way you slice it, to me, I mean that would be an unbelievable turnaround week over week to go out and then beat an Alabama. To me, they just looked flat. I'm not sure if it was, you know, COVID, empty stadium related, the, you know, warm-up game, so to speak. Maybe they come out and it's just a completely different team. But when I watched them, especially on the offensive side of the ball, it just looked like there was no pop. There was no pep in the step. And for Kellen Mond, we've talked about this. I think they're going to go as far as he takes them. And early on, especially against Vanderbilt in that first half, it just felt like, man, where is the sense of urgency? We got to get this thing going.
Well, as a former quarterback, I'm kind of curious because it looked like at early last year that Mond had kind of taken a step and then he never really moved beyond that. And, I mean, is this basic – maybe this is what he is? He's never quite going to be that quarterback that they thought he might become?
I wonder the same thing. And, again, he's got the talent. He's got all the intangibles. But the biggest knock on Kellen Mond to this point has been play in big games. He has not lived up to – if you're going to take your team, especially in the SEC West, the pinnacle of college football, if you're going to win games in the SEC West and be a contender in that division and win the SEC – you've got to have big-time play out of your quarterback. And in the biggest moments, he really just hasn't played very well. Touchdown-to-interception ratio is pretty weak. Completion percentage drops. I think it's a hair under 50% in those big games against ranked teams. And I think it is one of those guys that really shows up against teams that they should beat. And then in the big moments where they need him in a sort of a quote-unquote upset game, he hasn't been that. And from what I saw out of that game against Vanderbilt, it was not a good sign. Ideally, you know, hopefully, if you're an A&M fan, if they turn it around and they got to do it quickly, because this 10-game SEC-only schedule is going to be unrelenting.
Another game I wanted to ask you about, because I'm actually looking at it from more of a gambling perspective, but I'm real impressed by this SMU team. And, you know, Memphis has had a month off now. They've had to deal with the COVID. Their best player opted out. Is this a spot where SMU might be able to upset Memphis?
I think so. I think looking at Memphis early in the year, I mean, they had their win over Arkansas State, and Arkansas State obviously goes and beats Kansas State. So I think it was a good quality win, but SMU has all the pieces around them, starting obviously with Shane Buechele, to win that game. I think, to me, the American Conference is UCF right now, and then there's another pool of Cincinnati, Memphis, and really SMU, and then everybody else is kind of how I would characterize the conference to this point. So certainly, and I'm not even sure what the line's at right now, but that would not shock me at all if SMU goes out and wins that game.
SMU plus two, that's the line.
Perfect, there you go.
what do you think of Oklahoma's performance? What went wrong for them in that game? And is it something that's correctable, or do you think that they're in trouble long-term as well?
No, I actually think if I'm an OU fan, even in a loss, I think I would feel better about what they have than Texas right now. And the reason being, you can fix 0 points in the fourth quarter. I don't think that's going to happen very often to Oklahoma. Spencer Rattler made some freshman mistakes. And I think as a team, Oklahoma probably needed – they always have that one slip-up throughout the year. It feels like every year when they're real competitive, they still finish like 11-1. And it just so happened that it happened really early this season. For them, we got to get Spencer Rattler over the hump as a freshman, get his mistakes ironed out. And then as a team, you can't let up. even against the team that you should beat by two or three touchdowns, in the fourth quarter, if you have sloppy turnovers, they're going to score points, and all of a sudden you've given a game away that you absolutely should have won. So for Oklahoma, I actually feel like they're in a better position moving forward. Just schematically, I like what Lincoln Riley's done up there. That system, to me, feels like they should be able to rebound and get back on track quickly.
Just kind of a follow-up to that, though. Watching Oklahoma last week, especially early, seemed like a lot more dink and dunk. And not really, it seemed like Kansas State was taking away the deep ball for the most part. And Rattler was having big numbers. He was throwing some picks. But at one point, I think after 25 passes, he hadn't thrown an incompletion. He had 23 of 25 with two picks. Is that something that we're going to see teams do more to Oklahoma this year? Or is it just a matter of usually they dink and dunk and they just break big plays and we're not seeing it?
Well, I think to the early part in the season, they don't have a home run hitter just yet. Still trying to figure out who that guy is going to be. And then the second piece, yeah, if you're going to play an Oklahoma, I think the key to beating them is keep everything in front, not allowing stuff to get behind you, and then take your shots on defense, meaning pick your spots where you're going to come after Spencer Rattler. But, you know, you look at – if you go back to in a totally different scenario, but you look at what the Chiefs did to Lamar Jackson, bringing everybody down into the box on Monday Night Football. That's another thing that I think you'll start to see with these young mobile quarterbacks is either it's one of two options. You back off and say you're not going to beat us over the top, or it's we're going to put eight dudes in the box, play man defense. If you don't have a home run hitter, we're going to bring pressure all night. But for Spencer Rattler, it wasn't anything that Kansas State was doing. It was silly freshman mistakes that I think Lincoln Riley will get him fixed on that stuff.
All right, that's Taylor McCarg, ESPN analyst, former Rice quarterback.
I got one more quick question for you about the SEC is now allowing immediate transfers within conference, and a lot of it's COVID-related, but do you think that that's something that we could see sticking around?
I don't. I think a lot of this is going to be a one-off because college coaches, this is one of the things that they hold on so tight to the vest, is their ability as coaches to sort of lily pad around and go wherever they want, but that players are bound to this sense of loyalty to the school and that you can't just transfer and go play right away. I think if they do that, it's sort of completely, I mean, we're already basically beyond amateurism, but then if they acknowledge that, then it's really the NCAA has to completely do away with amateurism altogether. So no, I think it'll go back to if you transfer, there's got to be some sort of hardship waiver or you got to sit out a year.
All right, Taylor, great stuff as always, man. Enjoy the games this weekend. Look forward to talking to you next week.
That sounds great. Have a good weekend, guys.
All right. He does a good job, man.
Yeah.
I really enjoy having him on. Well, a lot of those games we talked about, you know where you can bet them, MyBookie. And you got the game tonight. Maybe you want to get in on those Broncos. Maybe you want to get in on that under. MyBookie is the place to do it. You can also bet baseball, whatever you want. You can bet in-game. And that's a fun thing for me to do sometimes, to sit there and bet in game, especially when I start getting a feel for it. If I see a number that's out of whack, boom, jump in there, make a live bet. And when you win, they pay. That's the best part about MyBookie. Fast payouts, you never have any issues with that. And a lot of websites, that's a big deal, trying to get money out. Not with MyBookie. It's easy. And easy deposits, easy withdrawals. Lots of options to get in on the action. And if you join today, they're going to match your first deposit 100%. All you have to do is enter promo code radio when you sign up. That's promo code radio. And, man, there's a lot of stuff to get into this weekend. All that college stuff we were just talking about, obviously the NFL. And it's all going to be available for you on MyBookie. Promo code radio, then they'll match your first deposit 100%. MyBookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.
This is the Blitz. Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
I got to tell you guys about TGS Insurance. If you own your home, listen up and let me try and save you some money. Well, let TGS try to save you some money. If you don't know what you're paying for home insurance, you need to go find out. I did, and I was alarmed at what I was paying because I you don't really think about it. You just pay what you got to pay. Well, when you text money to 232323, TGS will send you a quote. And you could be paying a lot less. I certainly was. I could have been paying $1,000 less. That's what I'm saving now with TGS. Graham here is saving $2,600 a year. Guys, don't give money to the insurance company that you don't have to. It's so simple to switch. They'll get you refunded on your old policy, and it takes literally 15 seconds. It's almost no effort whatsoever. And maybe you don't save money. The average customer is saving $900, though, so it's worth a shot. Text the word money to 232323 and check it out. See what you could be saving today with my friends at TGS Insurance.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. Cardinals up 4-0, is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah.
What inning are we in?
Bottom of the second.
Yeah, it's not looking good for Tatis.
No. And Padres are a likable team overall. I like them. I mean, I like Will Myers. I'm an Eric Hosmer fan. They've got a lot of players that I like. I knew, though, when they came in and they're, well, your number two and number three pitchers, and arguably you could say they were their number one and two, but they would have, you know, the guys that would have pitched game two and three in this series were unavailable. I knew they were in trouble.
Yeah.
So, good for the Cardinals.
Yeah, well, the Cardinals are one of those, and I think, mentioned earlier, if they get the farther they get, the better it is for their TV ratings. So I'm sure MLB's happy with that. All right, how about a little Hoffman on Hollywood?
Well, let's start. And I didn't know. I guess this guy is Hollywood. It's not a guy that I consider a celebrity, except for one event that happened to him. Is John Wayne Bobbitt considered he's a celebrity, right?
I guess he is. I mean, didn't he go on to a porn career?
He did.
Yeah.
I think he...
So he's a celebrity.
Well, there you go. So, as you know, John Wayne Bobbitt, he's famous because his then-wife, Lorena Bobbitt, chopped his penis off and threw it on the side of the road. Famously, he had it reattached and was able to perform in a pornographic video. Good for him. Well, apparently, there's something about him losing body parts.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. This time, it looks like it might be his left foot. His penis got cut off in 1993.
Jeez.
He stepped on a nail. He was working construction, so the porno career didn't hang on. He stepped on a nail, went through his boot, punctured a toe on his left foot. He said it became infected a couple months later. And he's been aggressively treated with antibiotics, but the infection never fully healed. Now he's back in a hospital in Las Vegas. And apparently, they're trying to figure out if they're going to have to amputate it or not.
Jeez.
His left foot. What would you rather get cut off today, your left foot or your penis?
I use the left foot more, so I'll probably go penis.
That's kind of what I was figuring you would say.
But you sure he doesn't have leprosy?
I'm pretty sure.
Because as you know, a leper can't change its spots. I know, it was awful.
That's awful.
I know. It was beyond awful.
I was like...
I was kind of tying together the fact that he might lose a foot when he lost a penis. Okay?
Yeah.
I took a shot. It failed. Let's move on.
That's all right.
I've had poo thrown in my face for that one already today, so we're good.
I actually kind of wish I could rescind that rim shot, too.
Yeah. This is a little weird. Like, you know, there's people who have... they may have a celebrity tattooed on their body.
That's very strange.
It's very strange. Now, even more strange would be, what if you set the world record for the most tattoos of one musician on your body?
I'd say you probably need a therapist, would be my guess, but, you know.
Nicky Patterson of Aberdeen, Scotland. She has 16 tattoos of Eminem on her body.
Jeez.
The most disturbing part about this... She's kind of cute.
Yeah, she kind of is.
If she didn't have the same dude tattooed on her 16 times, it'd be like, ooh, she's a nice-looking gal. She was 19 when she got her first tattoo. She's now 35, has 52 tattoos in total, and 28 are based on Eminem. 16 of them are actual portraits of his face.
So I'm guessing she's only hooking up with Eminem fans. That'd be kind of hard. Like, if you're a Bono fan and you see her, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah. She says, he's been the one constant in my life. I've seen him perform live.
Okay.
I mean.
Didn't you see him perform live?
I mean, a lot of people have. What an odd, odd thing to do. But yeah, she's set the world record for most tattoos of one musician on her body. So there you have it. I guess we mentioned yesterday that James Dean died this day in 1955, 65 years ago. Reasons why we wear seatbelts now. Everyone knows this. Kelly Clarkson is involved in a lawsuit. The Voice returns for its 19th season here in three
19th?
Weeks.
19th?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And Kelly Clarkson is being sued in L.A. Superior Court by her longtime management company for failing to pay millions in commissions related to her stint on The Kelly Clarkson Show and on The Voice. Under a verbal agreement in place since 07, 5 years after Clarkson won American Idol, Nashville-based Starstruck Management's complaint says it's owed $1.4 million by the singer right now, and they claim that she'll be on the hook to the tune of at least $5.4 million in estimated commissions. Over the course of approximately 13 years, they helped her develop into a superstar. And by the way, it's all oral contract, which I'm guessing this isn't going to work out.
Nope.
And guess who owns the music management company? Kelly Clarkson's ex-father-in-law.
Now we get it.
Uh-huh. So that's why things are going the way they're going. But that's what's going on with her. And that is a shortened Hoffman on Hollywood.
All right. Good stuff, my friend. Looking forward to happy hour tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I'm calling my shot now, so to speak. One of us is going to get stuck with that shot.
The mega?
Yeah. One of
all three of us have had it. I feel like
I know, but
somebody else is going to land on that wheel.
It's someone
but
else's
you and
time.
I are back to having two spots on the mega wheel now.
And I know how that plays out.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. Hope everybody has an awesome, awesome evening. Till tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.